Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Now, as they say, time for something completely different. The world has showered many accolades on British comedian Eddie Izzard. The New York Times claims that his only competition for sheer comic genius is Chris Rock. John Cleese once said he's the lost Python. The late Robin Williams called Izzard a velvet razor, gentle, cutting edge. But if you ask Izzard to describe himself, he opts for runner, political campaigner, fashion icon, human. True, aren't we all? And yet, not that many humans rocket to fame doing things like strutting on stage in drag and poking fun at the Spanish Inquisition. But that's pure Izzard. Here he is in his 2000 HBO special Dressed to Kill, where he riffs on the idea that the Inquisition would have been far different if it had been run by the Anglican instead of the Catholic Church.
Cake or death? Cake, please. Very well. Give him cake. Oh, thanks very much. Very nice. You, cake or death? Cake for me too, please. Very well. Give him cake too. We're gonna run out of cake at this rate.
We spoke to Eddie Izzard in April when he was in town for a performance of his latest stand-up show, Force Majeure. Now, Izzard is a comedian, but when he came into our studios, the first thing he did was a little fact-checking.
Thank you very much. I got to pick up on one thing. Fashion icon? I said I was a fashion icon?
Right here on the front page of your bio on your website. There it is. I got it printed out.
I say I'm a fashion icon.
And human.
Hang on, but that's not me saying that. That's someone who's hailing. I don't know who do the
that's
hailing.
That's from your website. It's the bio.
Oh, I see. That's
it's
some.
The bio.
Oh, right.
Notice how it says at the top, in your own words, his youth in his own words.
Yeah, I think it's the next bit on from that.
Well,
so
in fact,
I will get on to the guys at the website. So we're going to take out
tell
fashion.
Them to add fact checker too, because it's not that often that I have a comedian come in and the first thing he does is fact check our scripts.
I know. Well, it's I'm a fashion. I'm not a victim. I'm someone who is a bloke who's put on a bit of makeup and the people do think, oh, you're transvestite. You would know this. I don't have that design thing built in. I've had to work very hard on it. So I'm a fashion student, a vague student, learner. I don't know. This isn't a great. I haven't got the line polished here for what I am in the fashion thing. But sometimes vast mistake of fashion, I think, would have been.
Vast mistake.
Well, especially when I first came out. That was even before that, even in blokey attire, I was all over the place.
Okay. Well, let's hear a little bit more about this current tour that you are on, the Force Majeure tour.
Yep.
French for force of nature, I believe.
Yeah, people some call it act of God. I translate as force of nature. It means major force, literal.
Is it a declaration of your own talents on stage?
No, I think it's a declaration of what everyone needs to be in life. We need to be a force of nature. We need to actually, if life is like a river and we're paddling in our own little boats, you got to paddle like crazy, mate. You can't, if you got to either forward paddle or back paddle. I sometimes back paddle, which is quite interesting. I paddled to stop my comedy career rising so that I could do drama, so that I could now do Hannibal and The Riches and Valkyrie and Ocean's movies, to bring that up while I was back paddling and paddling on my comedy career.
Right. Well, but while you were doing that, I was reading some interviews you had done from that time a couple years ago, and it wasn't as easy to backpedal. The world didn't necessarily want you to take on a new role as a dramatic figure.
Yes, well, that's slightly different. It's actually the transition from being canoeing down the comedy river to canoeing down the drama river. That's the one that they weren't sure. Are you in the right river, mate? If you're Captain Comedy, and my stuff is quite beguiling, it's very Python-influenced, and that stuff, people want to repeat it. And people walk up to me and just say cake or death, and or the Death Star canteen sketch, Darth Vader yeah. ordering food on the Death Star.
I will have the penne alla arrabbiata. You'll need a tray. Do you know who I am? I am Vader. I can kill you with a single thought. Well, you'll still need a tray. No, I will not need a tray. I do not need a tray to kill you. I can kill you without a tray, with the power of the force, which is strong within me, even though I could kill you with a tray if I so wished. So the food is hot. You'll need a tray to put the food on. Oh, I see the food is hot. I'm sorry. I did not realize.
Oh, it's a historic clip of Eddie Izzard, who's in our studios now. Eddie, do you mind if I ask you, you mentioned, and we had mentioned in the introduction, that you call your comedy Python-esque, and John Cleese himself said you're the lost Python. I mean, that's quite incredible praise.
That's top honor. That's I asked John as well, because I wasn't sure if he said it, and he said he did say it. So, and I think he meant, I didn't quite ask him what he quite meant, and I think it's that I was just born 20 years too late. I'm just such a fan of the thing.
Were they an unconscious influence early in your career, or a very conscious one?
In my stand-up career, totally conscious. I mean, I borrowed from a John Cleese sketch, very early sketch, which I just think we just did one of his sketches. But yeah, it was totally, I was just trying to be in Python. I was trying to do surreal stuff, and then I did street performing, which totally took me away from Python. Mm-hmm. I did physical situation comedy, getting on 5-foot unicycle, escaping from a pair of handcuffs. So I learned how to play myself. This was something I realized. I felt America did better than Britain. And we seem to do more character work, and Americans seem to do more star vehicle playing yourself stuff. And then the stand-up became this perfect mix of the narrator, which is me, mm-hmm. and then going into character work where little people talk like Darth Vader, and it all mixes together.
Interesting, because I'm just looking at how you describe yourself on your Twitter account, and you say I'm a British European and think like an American.
Yes.
So, I mean, is that a big part of how you would do
and
your
And I was
work?
Born in an Arabic country.
Born in an Arabic country.
Is the,
Yemen,
is the last
right?
part of that, yeah. I was totally into Hollywood. Hollywood doesn't really exist. Obviously, it's a sensibility of, you know, let's make films. But the go do it, go build it of America, I loved. Which is, in fact, this distillation of the immigrant spirit. That's what I like.
But let me ask you, there is one part of your life story, which I know you've spoken about openly before, that I don't know if a better way to say it than it just strikes me as inexorably sad that so much of your career you felt has been an attempt to bring your mother back, who died when you were, what, 6 or 7?
Yeah.
To reconnect with her somehow?
Yeah. There's a documentary called Believe, and in that there was this bit, Sarah Townsend, she directed it, and she kept shooting to try and find something, because I'm quite blocked off emotionally, and then finally she found this moment where I didn't actually know quite what I was saying. It does seem to be true. I do seem to be kind of trying to stack up enough things that could reach through and just bring her back. I didn't know quite what I was saying. I'd never said it before, and I feel it's a very curious thing. I'm just trying to get my mum to notice from somewhere else, but I don't think she's ever coming back. It doesn't seem to. No one ever comes back, so I don't believe in God anymore. Why would you let Hitler live longer than my mother? That doesn't make any sense. I think it's all random. I believe in humans. I believe in us. I think there's more goodwill than ill will. And but I'm going to keep working, because I've swapped the affection of my mother for the affection of audiences. And it's not unconditional, it's conditional. So you have to do good work, otherwise they give you medium response. And if you do really good work, they give you very good response. So,
well, speaking of good work, I want to play one last little bit, which I believe is more recent of your work. It's from the Force Majeure tour. And you mentioned God just a second ago, which seemed an apropos introduction to this bit.
But if a God did turn up, we'd want him to sound a certain way. We want him to sound deep and throaty. If a God turned up and said, I have returned. I've been away for many years. And now I am back. And you, people of Europe, you do not go to church anymore. What are you doing on a Sunday?
We are watching box sets of Scandinavian psychodramas.
Ooh, didn't expect that answer.
Yes, girl with a dragon tattoo, fish with a banana haircut. The cheese sandwich that ate itself. Wallander, Billander, Ballander, Jillander. The girl with the lumpy jumper.
That's Eddie Izzard from his new Force Majeure World Tour. Eddie Izzard, what a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks very much. Nice to be here.
Comedian Eddie Izzard brought some much-needed laughs to us back in April. That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Amory Sievertson, Alex Kingsbury, Imogene Weinstein, Kathleen McNerney, and Jamie Bologna. Tim Skoog is our technical director. We've got some help today from James Trout. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.